a special beer event episode of
Brutal Battle.
We finally have gone to a beer event, the first one in a while.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, and based off the title of this, you know what it was called. It's called Havre de Hops. And the reason it's called that is because it took place in Havre de Grace, Maryland, which is on the water, very beautiful town. Very nice to go there and, you know, do some fun, brisk walking, get in some exercise. Plus, they have a lot of cool shops there. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice, quaint little town. Seaside
city. People go there antiquing.
Yeah.
And they have some good restaurants. And they have, yeah, like little specialty shops.
So they put together this beer festival that this was their first year doing it. And Rebecca saw it and was like, hey, they're doing this. This sounds interesting because it had a lot of breweries in attendance that we had never even tried anything from, and we decided to go ahead and check it out. So we're just going to have two beers that we had there that we were actually able to buy to take away from the festival, and we're just going to talk about how the event went. There are recommendations we would have for changing things in the future if anyone involved ends up hearing this. I don't, probably not, but it's just good to kind of say like what was good, what wasn't good, because there were pros and cons to how the event was done, for sure. But overall, I would say we had a good time.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And one of the biggest strengths of the event, the beers.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the most important thing. You just want to make sure the beers are good.
I thought the cost was, like, reasonable, too. It was $25 a person.
Yeah, I think that's what you told me.
And you got... Wow, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But you were supposed to have gotten 3 ounces, a 3 ounce taster per brewery, and there were 10 breweries there.
So 30 ounces of beer for the price of $25.
Oh, yeah, that's
pretty solid. Yeah, and then you could additionally purchase full pours.
Yeah.
Of any beer that you wanted there. So yeah, and then they had food there, and they had music, which the music was too much, but. Anyway, getting ahead of ourselves, let's get a beer going so we can sip on that and talk. And the first beer is from one of our favorite breweries there, honestly. First time having them. We had heard about them. They're actually located in Havre de Grace.
Yeah, they were like, we're only 3 blocks from here.
Yeah. And like, we've known about them, we just haven't gotten there. So when we tried their stuff, though, we really liked it. We'll end up talking about that. At the end, we'll go through all the beers that we had from all the places. But again, Battery Island Brewing Company out of Havre de Grace. So what we got to take away is their Dirty Jersey John, which is an American cream ale, and it is 4.3% alcohol, and it's in a 16-ounce can. So it's basically like a 16-ounce crowler is how they did it, just like hand-filled and written on.
And they...
Because I don't think they distribute.
They didn't have like a... They had a little cooler with maybe 10 or 12 beers to pick from that you could take home, and we bought 5 of them. We like,
yeah, we did.
We took a large majority because we were like, oh, we want to try this, we want to try that.
Well, the guy there, who I think was a brewer,
I don't know,
was the brewer, because he
got his name, he was super nice.
Because the way he was talking about the beers, it sounded like he was involved in the brewing process,
yeah,
or owner, I don't know. And he was saying that
he knew a lot.
Yeah, he knew a ton. So he was very appreciative that we decided to buy as much as we did, because he was just like, oh, thanks for buying so much. We're like, yeah, I mean, the two that they had on tap, we really enjoyed. So we were like, let's get as many singles as we can and take it home to try more.
And they are a veteran-owned brewery.
Yes, veteran-owned, yes.
Just kind of a neat claim to fame.
Yes, definitely. So it's very yellow,
yeah.
Hazy yellow.
Yeah.
Looks like probably a cream ale should look. Ooh, that smells nice.
Just like, I think our beers are going to, the two beers we're going to taste are going to smell very similar.
No, I don't think so. Because the second one we've had before, and I remember it having something very specific to it that this one does not. But.
It's like a little honey. A
little lemon.
A little lemon, a little hay.
Yeah. Very light smelling.
There's a little like lemon peel.
Yeah. Because a little bit of the bitterness on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Smells really good, though.
Yeah.
Like, very crisp, light, refreshing. There's a slight citrusy, other than lemon, I'd say.
Mm.
Like, maybe a slight oranginess.
That is good.
Oh, yeah. You got that nice kind of like malt grain, Naked Cheerio-ish taste on the end that you're a big fan of.
It's like,
it's light, though.
It's light, but it's really flavorful, I think.
This is good.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy drinking more of that.
Yeah, it's an easy sipper. And actually, all the notes we were talking about in the aroma, definitely there in the flavor in a very good way. It's finishing a little drier than I thought it would, which is not a problem at all. A little more bitter than I thought it would based off the nose, also not a problem at all. But it kind of starts with like that lemon peel flavor, and then you're getting that hay and you're getting that honey to it. And then it kind of finishes with the bitterness. And yeah, it's good.
I would say maybe honeysuckle. I think there is a little floral characteristic.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. It's very easy drinking.
Yeah, it's great. I really like it.
But it's one of those ones where it's like it's not too easy to the point where like you just be sipping it and you're not really tasting much.
Yeah.
Because that happens with some of these types of beers. But yeah, it's good. So, okay, let's start talking about the experience. So from the beginning,
sure. So
we go in.
Well, we're not too familiar with Habit of Grace, but we've been there the past 2 weekends. So, and we think it's so cute, we'll definitely be back, and it's not too far from us.
No.
But it was in an old high school.
Yes.
Like, I guess the Habit of Grace High School, I guess they built a new one. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, some years ago.
So I'm glad they're using the space for something. Yeah. So they've kind of renamed it the Star Center, and they have athletic events, theater. It's just kind of like a space to hold events.
Yeah.
So they had it in their gymnasium, which was a fine space, but the issue with them, there was loud live music. And the music was good.
Yes.
But it was loud and it echoed.
Yeah. Having music, live music in an auditorium, not great.
It was
as like gymnasium is what I mean. Sometimes called auditorium. But yeah, in a gymnasium, terrible because the acoustics are really bad. Things really reverberate. You have nothing to deaden the sound. Plus, on top of that, the speakers were too loud.
Yeah, they could have turned it down a little.
So the issue became you couldn't talk to the people pouring your beer, really. Like, you had to really lean far in to try and talk to someone, which is a really bad situation for trying to do a beer event where these people pouring the beers are trying to educate the consumer on what they did with the beers, how they're supposed to taste, like, who they are as a brewery. Like, they're trying to sell their product. So to have the music totally drowning that out was really bad for the venue.
I forget who the musical artist was. They're
very good, though.
They were, yeah. It was. I enjoyed the music. The other weird thing was the event went from 12 to 7.
Which is a very long time for a beer event. And I wouldn't be... We went, like, as soon as they opened, basically, because that's usually how we do it. It gives us a little more space in the beginning to kind of like hit as many breweries as we want real quick before lines start forming. And I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of places ran out of beer towards the end. Because they were pouring consistently.
It was a decently attended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at Carlin said, there weren't a ton of people when we first started, but then we ran into an old friend, so we were talking with him a little bit. So we ended up not leaving until like 3:30.
Yeah, around there.
And it was like, we got back in lines to pick up beers that we wanted to go home with. And then there was definitely lines.
Yeah, a lot.
Like,
yeah, it was pretty packed. And actually,
5-6 people deep.
That was one of the other issues, is like forming lines was hard because of the fact that they had like the breweries lined up on the sides of the gymnasium. Which is good, like, that was fine, but the problem is they put, like, games in the middle, like, cornhole and, like, large-sized, like, pong, beer pong, with, like, you know, a large ball and, like, real big buckets, and that ended up taking up space that they really needed for people to form lines, so, like, the lines were, like, all skewed all over the place. It was kind of hard to, like, comfortably wait to get a pour of beer. So that was another issue, is the layout needed a lot of work.
I mean, I don't think they could have done anything differently, though. My only thought was,
don't have the game there.
Yeah, move the game.
No cornhole or this giant beer pong. Like, you have to have it somewhere else. Because they had an outside space. That's the best place to put those.
They should have put those outside, and they could have put the music outside.
The music should have been outside.
But I don't know if they could have with, like, a noise ordinance or something like that.
Well, noise ordinances aren't in effect until 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay.
In our county. So
they could have done that.
They could have done it. Yes, easily.
Because they had a large, there's a large outdoor grassy area where the food was. They could have put, even they could have put a couple breweries out there to encourage people to get out there.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So some things to learn from that for sure.
Which I'm sure. The other big thing was we went up, got our first pour. There was a little, it was a little plastic cup that was probably 3 ounces. And then we threw it away. And then we go up to our next brewery and they're like, where's your cup? And we're like, oh. He's like, I don't have small tasters. And we're like, okay. So then he went and got some. And it was literally like a condiment cup, like probably 1 ounce.
Like 1 ounce size. So, yeah, this was a problem because we were supposed to get, each of us get a 3 ounce pour from each brewery. So some of those breweries we only got like 1 ounce pours from, basically.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say we were getting screwed in that sense because it was still only $25 and we did try a decent amount.
But then some other breweries had like larger tasting cups and they were like filling them to the top.
Yes.
And then some breweries, I still like say we found like a one that we thought was 3 ounces. We were saving that to have that report into. And then some breweries didn't see that, and they were just giving me, like, a full, plastic cup and filling that. And sometimes they were, like, very generous, and sometimes they were not so generous.
Yeah, and that's, like, and that's the problem is, like, pours were not consistent at all. So, in the future, it would be good if they did something kind of similar to, like, what Sabre did. Not give people, like, glass to hold because, you know, people can drop that and break it. But get plastic cups that have like an easy marker to show the ounces, and you can get those.
I'm
so
sure that would be more money.
And then just make sure everyone has them. All the breweries have those because there's a lot of confusion around that. So, but other than, oh, and the other problem was the check-in very disorganized. Very disorganized. They seemed to be understaffed for people doing the check-in. And it was very scattered, like where they were going, what they were looking at, what they were talking to people about. Like it was a mess. So they needed to kind of figure that out.
And that they could have improved as the day went on. We don't know because we got there right when they opened. Because there was like a beer passport that we had to have like initialed when we tried stuff. So we didn't like go back to the same brewery.
Yeah.
And they forgot to give those to people. So they were coming back. And my only other critique was there should have been water stations.
Yes, that is a big one. You should encourage people who are drinking to also be drinking water. You don't want people to get dehydrated. Also, if people aren't able to get water when they're thirsty, they're going to drink more beer. And then you can end up with intoxication issues, which you don't want to have on your hands as a venue. So,
Yeah. I mean, I think our critiques are
legit.
Well, I mean, they're legit, but also minimal. Like, overall, like, we had fun. It was a good event. We had some really good beers, which you're going to talk about. And we had some good food.
Well, I would also say one other thing is it was child and, they said child and pet friendly. It wasn't really. Like,
loosely.
It was in the sense that, like, it wasn't an event that was set up where kids would really have much to do or have fun or want to be there.
Yeah.
And the pets kind of just got in the way. Now, that said, I didn't see any poorly behaved pets or children.
Yeah.
So that's great. But I just, you know, what was the purpose of that? Like, I understand, like, being able to have the kids come because then the parents can show up as well. But have an area where the kids can, like, do something.
Well, there was that area in the back where they had, like, the life-size Connect Four and the life-size
But they weren't pointing anyone to it. Like, no one was saying that this is here. Like, it was a room that was off where it seemed like no one was supposed to go. And nobody was there saying, like, hey, if you have kids, you can go here. And, like, no one told anyone about the layout when you get there either. It was just like, here you go have fun. And you don't know where you're going or where things are. Like, having a map would have been helpful if they could do that in the future. I don't know. But, yeah, like, I'm sure kids that were there did not have a good time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's get to the important. Well, first of all, how's this this cream ale tasting to you still?
That's great.
Yeah, very good. And we have more of their stuff in these 16-ounce crowlers, so very excited to drink more
and experience more. You want to pop open the next beer?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next beer, and then we can go over all the beers that we had at each of the places.
Okay. So the next one is by Mobtown Brewing Company. And they're out of Baltimore, Maryland. It is their On Deck Spring Lager. It's in a 12-ounce can, and it's 5.8%.
Yeah. And this is one we had when we were there.
Yeah.
So we know what this tastes like, and we liked it enough to buy a six-pack of it, for sure. Yeah. And the guy who was pouring it for us said that it was done for, like, opening day for the Orioles.
Yeah.
So the artwork on the front is very, like, Orioles-esque. It's got, like, the Orioles font that it's using, and it's got, like, a baseball diamond on there. So, very cool for the time. All right. This one's a little higher. You want that?
Sure.
I'll pour a little more for myself. Okay, so how's it looking?
It is so clear. It is clear and yellow-orange.
Yeah. Good assessment.
Mm, it's hoppier than I remember.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of fruit in that nose, which you wouldn't expect for just, like, a lager. Like, or, like, spring lager. There's a lot of fruit in that nose. Yeah, more hoppy than you would think.
A little Vaseline-y note.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I get some grapefruit. Very slight grapefruit.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm. There's definitely some citrus.
Yeah, it's almost like slightly acidic smelling on the nose, citrus-wise. It smells really good, though.
Nose, it's okay for me just because I'm hypersensitive to that Vaseline smell.
But it smells like light and crisp and clean.
It does.
So.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah. It's very light. It's very easy. It's very refreshing as far as a lager goes. It's definitely one of those beers where you can be tricked into feeling like you are being hydrated while you're drinking it. But there's good flavor there, too. It's not too watery. Mm. There's a decent amount of, like, a straw, like a hay note on the finish.
Almost chewy.
Which I'm digging. But, yeah, more hoppy than you would think. That does come through on the flavor. And some decent bitterness to it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's tasty. These are both really... are we going to pick a winner?
We will. Not right now, but... Okay, so let's finish off. Let's talk about what beers we had from each brewery. And I'm just going to say right now, there's one brewery we didn't try anything by, and that was Falling Branch. If you've listened to our podcast recently, you know we had Falling Branch on one of our Mystery Beers episodes, and we talked about how they don't have good beer. They have an issue with brewing there currently, so we were like, we are not even going to try what they have because we know that the beer is not good. So why waste the calories? So, but everyone else, we tried. Oh, and this brings me to another issue that we had there. There were breweries that were publicly said would be there and were not there.
Yeah.
So like Bog Turtle Brewing and BC Brewery had been said online they're going to be there and they were not there. So I assume that's bad on the part of the breweries for not showing up. But if they had let the venue know ahead of time, the venue should have put something online saying that they were not going to be there. Yeah. And they did not. So that is problematic. Because some people will go being like, I'm going specifically because I want to try this brewery. And then they're not there and they're going to be like, what the heck? So anyway, going to the first one. So we tried Susky River Brewing. They're in...
Perryville.
And they're a farm brewery. So we had their, here's the thing. I asked for their Conowingo Damn Good Beer. But instead, they poured me their God and Country, which was an American Hefeweizen. And as a Hefeweizen, it was good. I was just let down by the fact that I didn't get the Keller Pilsner that I asked for. And I didn't go back or anything to correct them on it. But as a Hefeweizen... Good Hefeweizen.
It was tasty.
And then we also tried the St. Mark Sour, which was a cherry blueberry sour with no lactose. So for anyone who has lactose issues, you can drink that one.
Very good.
Yeah, that was a nice sour. Very, very tasty.
I'd like to go there.
Yeah. So they're on our list. We do want to go there. So then we hit up Battery Island, who obviously we talked a little bit about. And what we had was their Old Greg, which was an Irish cream stout with vanilla chocolate and coffee.
So good.
That was Rebecca's favorite beer of the day.
I got a full pour of it.
here's the other great thing. All those interesting flavors in a stout, 4.7%.
Yeah.
So low ABV with great flavor. And then their Lavender Rain. And I was real reticent to try it just because I hate lavender. But the guy was like, maybe I can change your mind on this. And it's a Belgian blonde with lavender and heather tips. And actually, really tasty. The lavender was under control. It didn't taste too perfumey. I don't know how they pulled that off. Maybe the heather tips were kind of, you know, bringing it down a little bit. But very, very good. Then we tried Mobtown Brewing, which, you know, this is where this On Deck is from. We did the On Deck, and we also tried the Doctor Says I'm Hazy, which is a New England style IPA.
That was okay.
That was fine.
Yeah, it was good enough. It wasn't anything to write home about, though.
On Deck was the standout, though.
Yeah.
Then there was, I believe, was it Fifth Street? Fifth Street Company, who had the Boat Beer, which was an Italian style Pilsner. And
I tried their amber.
And the Irish Red Ale.
Yeah, the Irish Red is what I tried. They were okay.
Yeah, they were okay. Not like anything to call home about. Then we tried Picket Brewing, who's out of Baltimore, and their stuff was really good. We really liked them a lot. I tried their W West IPA, which is a West Coast style IPA with Simcoe Centennial and Citra hops, and it is
That was very good.
It was my favorite beer of the entire event. It was phenomenal. It tasted so good. We also tried the Counting Corks. Or no, we didn't try that. Did you try the Counting Corks?
Yeah.
The stout? The Irish Extra Stout. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was solid.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And then I got a full pour of their Debo Amber Lager. Very nice, easy drinking, but flavorful Amber Lager. Very good. So we really like them. Then we had some beers from Independent Brewing, we've had plenty from Independent Brewing before, and the beers we had are ones we've had before, but it was their Carpe Diem Imperial IPA, which was quite tasty, and their Chesapeake Pale Ale, which was also quite tasty. Mm-hmm. But the ladies pouring were not the nicest.
Yeah,
they were pissed off at Rebecca.
I spilled my beer. They put it on top of the cooler they were pulling,
like jockey box.
And I went to slide it towards me, and the top was wooden and uneven,
yeah.
So it caught the lip of the wood and spilled my little sampler glass. And they were not happy with me. And I was
they were visibly acting angry about it.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. And
it wasn't your fault. You apologized and it wasn't your fault, but they had an attitude about it, so.
I mean, I get it. It was a mess and I ruined all their stickers, but oh well.
I mean, you gotta let that stuff go.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to be the face of a company like that.
Yeah.
Not great. Then we tried Slate Farm Brewery, who we've been to before in the past. They had their Camden Crush and their Spruce Tip IPA. Didn't really like them.
Yeah. I think those were my least favorite of the event.
The Camden Crush literally tasted like orange soda.
I mean, it was supposed to be an orange crush, which I think they did achieve.
It didn't taste like a beer.
It didn't taste like a beer.
And the Spruce Tip IPA just tasted weird.
It was murky.
It was a little weird. You could get some of the Spruce Tip, but you couldn't necessarily tell it was an IPA. There was a high Vaseline flavor to it.
It wasn't good.
The beers weren't that good. Then we had Market Street Brewery, who we have had some beer from before. We had their Double Hitta, which is an Imperial IPA. That was really tasty. Mm-hmm. And then we had their Vanilla Porter, which was not good.
I wouldn't say it wasn't good. It was fine. As a Vanilla Porter, I couldn't perceive any vanilla.
There was no vanilla flavor to it. It just tasted like a very thin, basic porter.
Yeah.
That's all it tasted like. No vanilla perception whatsoever. So that was problematic. But the Double Hitter was really good. And we have had stuff from Market Street before
mm-hmm.
that we did like as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, had, like a one-off thing.
We had two other beers from them before at another event, and it was very good.
And then the last one we had was Hopkins Farm Brewery, who we've also talked about on the podcast before. Another farm brewery who we've had beer from in the past. We had their Hamilton Pilsner, which is a nice Pilsner, and their Susquehanna Flats IPA, which is a pretty nice IPA. Mm-hmm. And we had those before as well, but that's all they had available. So, and that was it. That's all we had.
Oh, that was a lot.
That was a lot. It was a lot. Oh, and like I said, I got, after we did all our tasting, I did a full pour of that Debo Amber Lager from Pickett, and you did a full pour of the
Old Greg
Battery Island, that Old Greg, the stout with all the goodness. So,
so good.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, it was good. I feel like it was a successful event. They did have some food vendors there, mm-hmm. like food trucks, which was cool. Good food. We had some barbecue that was very good by, was it Frank's barbecue? Yeah, they did a nice job. I had a pulled pork sandwich, was very tasty, and yours was a brisket sandwich. Mm-hmm. Very good as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. But they had, like, pizza. They had, well, we also had macarons.
Yes.
By a place called Le Petit Pissou. Very good macarons. Very good. And then we also got mini cinnamon buns to have for breakfast the next day from them. Those are not so great.
I think they were okay. I wouldn't buy them again, though. I'd stick with the macarons.
Yeah, they're a shop for macarons, and they do a great job with those. Yeah. So I'd go there for that, for sure. So, yeah, but I think that's all I had to say about the event. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's...
It was a good time.
I think we had it all.
All right, cool. I do think this is something we would do again. Yeah. For sure. Go next
year.
Yeah,
I'd definitely go next year.
Hopefully they make a few adjustments, make some improvements, which is common with festivals like this. Your first year, you're going to run into issues. You're going to figure out things that you didn't think through all the way the first time and learn from that and improve. So yeah. I assume that will happen. But anyway, yeah, thanks everyone for listening to this episode. And until next time,
keep it brutal.